You are listening to the Delane MD Podcast, the podcast for health professionals struggling to lose weight. If you are a physician, nurse, PA, or other clinician looking to permanently shed those pounds, stop overeating, feel better, and prevent disease, Dr. Vaughn offers practical strategies and tools to overcome the many challenges that undermine weight loss efforts. Now here's your host, Dr. Delane Vaughn.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Delane MD Podcast. I want to thank everybody for listening. I would like to remind everybody of the Facebook Lives on Tuesdays at 6:30. And I'd also like to remind everybody of how much I appreciate ratings and reviews for the podcast. Remember, when you give a rating and review for this podcast, it allows others to get to this information more easily. So if you're finding this information helpful, and you think others might find it helpful also, then if you could leave me a rating and a review, that will allow others to get to this podcast easier. So, I hope everybody is enjoying some nice spring weather. I always am hesitant to say, spring's finally here, like it's a set in stone thing, because living in Kansas, you know, even through April, we could have a 20-degree cold snap at any moment, so, but it's certainly been bright and springy, and things are starting to green up, and I wore a pink skirt to church today and feeling like a million bucks. It's great out there. So I hope everybody else is enjoying that and this time of renewal. I love this part of the year. So today, on that bright and cheery note, I want to talk to you guys about manipulation. Everybody knows kind of an idea about what manipulation is. Certainly, if you've ever purchased a car, you've probably went through the process of telling the salesman what your max budget was, and the salesman kindly finds you a car that's just barely inside of that maximum budget. They show you this car, you love every moment of this car, you think wonderful things about this car, and you go to start in the buying process, and they start trying to sell you all sorts of things that upsell that increase the amount of money you're going to spend. I understand that's their job. But certainly when that happens to me, I feel very manipulated. I do not like that process of buying a car. So typically what it looks like for me is this car needs a warranty, and the warranty is another extra so many thousands of dollars. And the funny part about it is I know the warranty is the right thing to do. I know that if I need the warranty, that I'm going to be grateful that I have it. But because I feel so manipulated on it, I feel so coerced into doing this, even though I told the salesman what my max was, and now they're going thousands of dollars over it, I find this resistance to getting the warranty, right? So we apply this technique of manipulation in all sorts of areas of our life, right? So manipulation is the attempt to control or influence cleverly, unfairly, or without morals another person's behavior or some situation, right? Synonyms to this include exploiting. So sometimes people will also alter or give misrepresentation of information to mislead people, right? All of these are kind of definitions of manipulation. So places that we see this come up in our life, we see it in relationships, we see it with our brothers and sisters, our mothers and fathers, our husbands, wives, coworkers. All sorts of times that we see this in interpersonal relationships where we try to manipulate people to get what we want. We see this in the news all the time where politicians will try to manipulate people into doing certain things, whether that be through bribery or some other trade, you scratch my back, I scratch your back situation that gets them into trouble. We see this a lot at work. You know, people will have a job to do and maybe it's part of their job that they don't like. So they will try to get a junior staff member or maybe somebody who's new and doesn't know that it's part of everybody's job description to do this unpleasant part. Maybe it's cleaning the break room or cleaning out the fridge or whatever it might be that you don't want to do it or somebody doesn't want to do it, and they try to get somebody else to do it without being totally honest about why the reasoning is behind that. We see this between siblings, right? We'll see this brothers and sisters, you know, one will have something the other one wants and suddenly they're trading chores for bubble gum or something. So we see this in a lot of different places in our lives. I do want to point out that there is a difference between manipulation and then consequences in relationships where there's subordination. So say you have a housekeeper that comes to your house that you pay to do your housekeeping. When you are trying to get them to do the job as you want it done, because it's the way you want it done and you're paying them to do that, that is not manipulation. That's not the kind of manipulation I'm talking about. Same thing with your children, right? Your children, you're trying to teach them the responsibility of cleaning their room or taking care of a pet or saving money, whatever that might be. The consequences set up for not doing those behaviors are not manipulation. That's not a manipulative behavior. That is teaching consequences for not getting something done. But in the situation where you are dealing with grown-ass adults, they get to do whatever they want to do. Period, end of sentence. You can make a request of them, and they can or cannot do them, and you can be upset about it if you want to. But it's totally their decision whether they perform whatever your request is, right? So, I'm going to give you some examples of where we see manipulation used in relationships, and then I'm going to give you an example of where we see it in our efforts at weight loss and health changes. Some examples of where we see it in relationships. So maybe the wife wants her husband to take her out on date night. So maybe she says, well, yeah, you can go out with your friends on Friday night drinking, but you have to take me out on date night on Saturday, and we're going to have a great time, and you're going to love every minute of it. Well, the fact of the matter is, if the other partner in this relationship isn't really wanting to go out with you on Saturday, and you're trying to trade letting them, quote unquote, go out on Friday so that you can go out with them on Saturday, you are trying to manipulate them into doing what you want them to do by trading for something they want, essentially, right? Maybe a better example of this, and it's so ridiculous, but it's so common that everybody will know exactly what I'm talking about, is when one partner in a relationship will trade intimate activities for something they want done. So, you didn't take the trash out last night, therefore I don't intend to have sex with you tonight. That's a form of manipulation, right? Because you're trading, or you're holding hostage, essentially, something that the other person wants so that you can get what you want done. And the interesting thing about this is that having an intimate relationship with your significant other is something that's beneficial to you. It's something that you will benefit, that your relationship will benefit from, but people will hold it hostage with this idea that they're going to get something they want, which is taking the trash out, which nobody wants to do, right? And not only do we frequently try to manipulate or to coerce these behaviors, but then we also want to micromanage the feelings behind it. Another example is cleaning the kitchen. I want my husband to want to clean the kitchen. And then when he doesn't, or he doesn't clean the kitchen in a way I think is fit, I decide that that allows me to be angry. I get to be upset with him about this. The most ridiculous part about this is nobody wants to clean the kitchen. I don't want to clean the kitchen. Nobody wants to clean the kitchen. Clean the kitchen's a chore. It's a pain in the butt. Nobody wants to do it. But not only do I want to micromanage what he's doing, I also want to micromanage his feelings behind doing it. Why? Also that I can feel happy about what's going on, right? There is a tool that we use in coaching called the manual, and I'm not going to get into that here. I'll get into that in another podcast. But the end point of the manual is that we are trying to manipulate people into doing something that we want them to do so that we can feel better about something. And what it comes down to is you can feel great about anything anytime you want by changing the thoughts that you're having about it. And so that's what we work on in the manual, and that's what we work on with these expectations of people in our life, of these relationships. And I think that that's very important work, and we'll get into it someday. But what I want to address here is the way that we manipulate and what comes from the action, what comes from the efforts of manipulation. So frequently, in these scenarios where a car salesman is trying to manipulate me into spending more money than I wanted to spend, I have on more than one occasion said, no, I'm not getting the warranty. I'm not going to do it because I feel manipulated and I don't want to do it. Even though probably the right decision, probably the best decision, the decision that's in my best interest is to get the warranty. But because I feel manipulated, I rebel against that. With our husbands taking the trash out, it's in their best interest to take the trash out. If they don't take the trash out, if the trash doesn't get taken out, rodents are going to get in your house. Bugs are going to get in your house. Your house is going to smell like trash. Nobody wants that. But because he feels manipulated, at some point he will want to rebel against this. When you're trading a boys' night out for a romantic date night, when we are making our significant others feel coerced into taking us out on a quote-unquote romantic date night and being all into it and micromanaging even how they feel about it, when they feel that coercion, when they feel that friction, they want to rebel against it. I certainly would want to rebel against that. When I expect my husband to clean the kitchen, not only clean the kitchen, but want to clean the kitchen, well, it's no wonder that every so often I hear rumblings of rebellion. I hear him complain about it. He doesn't do it. He just flat out doesn't do it. Why? Because he's a grown man. He doesn't have to do what I ask him to do. If he does, it's out of the goodness of his heart, and I should be grateful. I not only cannot make him do it, I certainly cannot make him want to do it, right? And when we try to manipulate that, we end up getting this rebellious behavior. You certainly see it in your teenagers too, as they're starting to become adults from children and realizing that they can make some of their own decisions, even if there are consequences associated with them. You will see that in teenagers as they start to rebel and come into their own. So I want to talk about how this works in our health and diet choices, our health and weight loss efforts. So I have had a number of clients that come to me, and when I'm talking with them about their weight loss goals or why they want to get healthy, their response is, because I don't want to die. So I have a number of clients that I work with. They are either diabetic or pre-diabetic, and they are working to control how much sugar, carbohydrates, processed foods that they eat. They are working to take those out of their diet, and they're struggling with it. And when we talk about the feelings and thoughts that they have when they go off plan, a lot of times what they're telling me is, well, my thought when I eat the Snickers is, I'm going to eat this and I'm going to end up dying of diabetes. Or if I continue like this, I'm going to die. I have to do something different. So sometimes they'll try to tell me that this drives a challenged feeling, like if I eat the Snickers, I'm going to die of diabetes, drives them to feel challenged not to eat or determined not to eat it. And I would offer that that's not the complete thought. I would offer that the complete thought is, if I eat the Snickers, it's going to make my diabetes worse, so I'd better not. That's probably the complete thought that drives determination not to eat it. But when thinking or telling yourself, if I keep eating this way, I'm going to die, that drives some version of fear. That drives some version of feeling afraid and feeling backed into a corner, like I have to choose a Snickers or death. These are the two things that I've got here on the table to choose, right? And it's a form of coercion. And what typically happens is there's the thought that if I eat this, I'm going to die of diabetes. The feeling is fear. The action is ruminating and ruminating and ruminating in this, still craving the food, still wanting the Snickers, inevitably giving in and eating the Snickers, which then, of course, supports and gives evidence to this idea that if I continue to eat this way, I'm going to continue to have diabetes and I'm going to die of complications of diabetes. So I want to offer that when you have these coercive thoughts about trying to make yourself eat better, that most of the time you are going to inevitably have a rebellious action associated with this. Other examples is, I have a high school reunion coming up and I want to look hot at it, so I'm going to have to really buckle down and be healthy. And again, your fear that's really driving that thought is fear that my old classmates are going to see me and I'm not going to look amazing, and I'm fearful that they'll judge me for that. Or you buy clothes that are two sizes too small because you're going to lose weight, and when you're thin, you can wear them. Well, while you're buying those clothes and doing that coercive, manipulative behavior to try to make yourself lose weight is because you fear that you can't actually do it on your own, that you need this carrot stick out in front of you, right? So anytime that we're doing something based on fear, that comes from a place of fear, we are most of the time going to have a negative outcome associated with that. Fear does not usually drive action. Fear drives the innate behavior of going and hiding and not doing anything, which gets you the same results that drove the fear in the first place, right? So whenever we're acting out of this manipulative behavior, we have to be very, very cognizant of this and try to find another way to inspire ourselves from a place of love and compassion to reach the goals that we want. And most people will find that they have tried these techniques, these coercive techniques, these fear techniques, these, what do they call it, fear-mongering or manipulative techniques in the past to lose weight, and which is why we're talking about it right now, because it does not work. You will rebel against that. Nobody wants to live in fear. Nobody wants to live feeling coerced. Nobody wants to live feeling manipulated. People don't want to live that way, and so they rebel against it, even when you're doing it to yourself. And even, it's so interesting, eating healthy is what you should want to do. It's what's good for your body. But yet, because there's this element of manipulation and coercion there, you want to rebel against it, even though it's in your best interest. Isn't that so interesting? So I want you guys to look at your life this week and look at places where you're telling yourselves these fear-mongering thoughts, these fear-based thoughts, these thoughts on that are based on the idea that you are afraid you can't get your goals accomplished in any other way. I want you to look for where you're seeing that. And then I want you to look for other places where you've seen yourself rebel against this. And then I want you to be aware of it and just know it's there. And start looking for little cracks in those thought processes where compassion can work its way in, where love can work its way in, where you start to not choose the Snickers, not because you're afraid you're going to die of diabetes, but because you love yourself enough to feed your body food that serves it. You're not buying yourself clothes that are two sizes too small so that you can coerce yourself into losing weight. Instead of wasting any energy in that arena, you're deciding to look at what serves your body, look at it as wholesome and nurturing to your body, and choosing that versus choosing things that don't serve your body and are actually making you ill in the long run. I want you to look for opportunities for that. It's going to be very hard to jump from, I'm going to die of diabetes, I can't eat that, to, oh, this is a nurturing source of food for me, I should eat that instead. It's going to be hard to make that jump immediately, but I would challenge you this week to just be aware of where you're seeing these fear-based manipulative tactics playing out in your food plan and your thoughts of staying on your food plan. And then let me know what your thoughts are. You know, you guys can find me on the Facebook Lives, and any questions, worries, concerns, thoughts about this, you guys can throw out there. I'm happy to answer any questions. And I will be back with you guys next week. We'll drop another podcast then. Until then, I hope you guys enjoy the wonderful spring weather, and we'll talk to you later. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to the Delane MD podcast. More podcasts are available at DelaneMD.com. If you're ready to permanently lose weight and prevent weight-related disease, contact Dr. Delane Vaughn by visiting DelaneMD.com or on Facebook at DelaneMD.